This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, man, did he crush this one down the line? But is it fair or foul? That's deep, 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 and gone! Oh, he hit that one to tomorrow. Chavis with his fourth home run of the season, hugging the line. Man, did he wallop it.
Tape measure again, his third tape measure.
So that's from a good 10 days ago now. Michael Chavis with a two home run game in Chicago. I think those are the last home runs he hit. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And he has been one of the real key guys in this Red Sox resurgence here in the middle of May as Boston has come out of its funk. I think that's a safe way to put it as we enter the baseball reporters here tonight. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. I'll ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, to open up the phone lines right away. We'll take your calls on anything and everything regarding the Red Sox and Major League Baseball, as we always do. And as always, I have a few things on my agenda that I would love to touch on, the first of which is Chavis. We'll get to a couple of other things in the program as we progress here, too. Chris Sale will touch on. He's back on the mound tonight against the Rockies. Dustin Pedroia, what the future holds for him, if anything. And a guy whom I think is one of the great stories in baseball did something last night in a game that you know, nothing overly extraordinary, but I think is worth keeping an eye on. We'll get to that later in the show, and I'll tell you exactly what that is. But in any case, 617-779-0985. As it pertains to Michael Chavis, and I actually wrote this for our website this morning, and I firmly believe it. This is one of my real great beliefs and tenets when it comes to baseball. For that matter, any team, really, in general, in any sport, because I think it's pivotal. But in baseball, especially because I lived it, I believe it. And when I say I believe it, I believe everything I tell you. But there are some things that I really would establish as hardcore principles in the game. And that I think every good team almost always has. And that is a combination of youth and experience. A combination. You need both. And this brings me to Rafael Devers and Michael Chavis, who I think really have been the backbone to this Red Sox resurgence. Do you know Rafael Devers leads the league in hitting? Did you guys know that?
No,
in batting? He leads the league in batting average. Rafael Devers does. Leads the league.
Happened pretty quick.
Last year, the Red Sox got below average production at third base. This year, they're in the top half of the league. And believe me when I tell you, there's a big difference between the top half and the bottom half. And at second base, boy, Chavis has made all the difference in the world offensively. He doesn't have enough at-bats to qualify yet. But you know where Chavis would rank among American League second basemen if he had enough at-bats to qualify, assuming his current level of production, which is always a big assumption? First, if he keeps hitting like this, Michael Chavis is the best offensive second baseman in the American League, based on OPS. Which brings me to this question, and it ties into a story that came out over the weekend involving Madison Bumgarner of the San Francisco Giants. Bumgarner is a free agent at the end of the year. The Giants are off to a dreadful start. They're in last place, and it's already being theorized that Bumgarner could be a candidate to be traded at the deadline in July, the end of July. So my question to you becomes this. First of all, would you want Bumgarner? And let me tell you that the Red Sox can actually afford him. Depending on when he is dealt, Bumgarner is only going to cost a team, if he's dealt at the end of July, is only going to count about $4 million on the payroll of the team that acquires him. That's number one. Okay, that in and of itself is stunning to me, but the Red Sox have the flexibility to add a guy like that. And with Nathan Eovaldi banged up, with David Price banged up, even if Price is earmarked to return potentially this coming weekend, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Red Sox could be targeting another pitcher. And remember, a starter. And remember, if you want to use Bumgarner out of the bullpen, we know he can do that. He would fit right in with Alex Cora's philosophy because he's done it before. So my question to you as a fan is, whether it's Bumgarner or anyone else for that matter, what if you had to trade Chavis to get a guy like Bumgarner? Would you do it? Would you not do it? And why? And on some level, this also relates to Dustin Pedroia's situation, because if you believe that Pedroia can come back and play second base, then you don't have to worry about second. Maybe you think that Brock Holt can come back and play it and give the Red Sox something there, like he gave them last year. Remember, he hit for the cycle in the division series against the Yankees in a postseason game. So on Chavis, do you believe in Chavis? Do you think he can keep it up? Or is he precisely the kind of guy the Red Sox should deal for something that can help them now on July 31st or before July 31st? Because Chavis, I think, is a tough call for lots of reasons. But I think he's a tough call, and I'd be interested in hearing what both Jimmy Stewart and Jim Murray have to say on Chavis before we get to your calls and thoughts on him. By you, I mean you, the Red Sox fan who's driving home tonight, driving into the game, whatever. Again, 617-779-0985. Murray, would you trade Chavis for pitching help?
I would, especially if we're talking about, you know, one of the best who I know was a little shaky to start and didn't have a great year last year, but, you know, it seems like he's turned things around. I think Madison Bumgarner is insurance in your rotation, obviously, for the inevitable breakdown of Chris Sale, or at least a DL stint that's going to be coming. There's more concerns there in terms of Nathan Eovaldi, so you need help there. And you mentioned the bullpen, so it kind of killed two birds with him. And with Chavis, we've seen flash-in-the-pan ball players before, and with his somewhat questionable past, I would be willing to move on from him because of that.
Jimmy Stewart?
For pitching, yes. For Bumgarner, no. Because I'm worried about his previous seasons, and I think his velocity is down. He's also pitching in a National League ballpark against the National League West lineup. So no on Bumgarner, but I'm open to other pitching options.
I'll tell you what, the whole Bumgarner thing, I love Bumgarner. Now look, his last couple of years haven't been great. I love the guy, though. And how about this possibility, just for fun? If you brought Bumgarner here, you DH for Jackie Bradley and let Bumgarner hit. Would that be a kick in the nuts or what if you're Jackie Bradley? I'd let Bumgarner hit and have Jackie Bradley sit. Use the DH for your center fielder. How do you like that? How'd you like that move? Anyway, I'll tell you what my feeling is on Chavis, because believe it or not, I'm conflicted about it. Murray raised an interesting point, though, that last year at this time, and it actually was before the season, right? Now that I think of it, but last year at this time, Chavis was suspended. Because he tested positive for PEDs. And we'll take a good look at Chavis's career here in just a second, but I want to take a couple of your calls first. Ben's in the car on Chavis. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, so I love what Michael Chavis has been doing. I'm a true believer. I love that every foul ball he hits goes about 450 feet. I think he's been the spark that they really needed at the bottom of the lineup. I think he woke Devers up. I mean, Devers was hitting all right. But all of a sudden, Devers has got to protect his position at third base, and he's hitting the heck out of the ball, right?
Ben, does the PED suspension at all worry you?
Yeah, it concerns me a little bit.
Okay, so sorry, I'm going to let you go. It should concern you because Murray raises a great point. And you know what? I'm going to give you the actual math on Chavis just so you know what it is. Because there's a clear line of demarcation in Michael Chavis's career. Remember, now, Chavis is not yet 24, but he was a first-round pick in 2014. First-round pick. Okay, in 2014, he did okay. He had a 772 OPS, but that was in rookie ball. The next year, he hit 223 in A-ball. In 2016, combined A-ball, he hit 237. And then in 2017, mysteriously, after really 3 years of underachievement in the minors, 2 years where, again, he hit in the low 200s, 223 and 237. In 2017, all of a sudden, Michael Chavis went crazy, batted 282, hit 31 home runs with an OPS of 910. In 2018, In the spring, he was suspended for testing positive for PEDs. He issued a statement saying he still doesn't know how something like that got in his system. He didn't have time to investigate it. To the best of my knowledge, we've never found out. Sound familiar? Boy, you hear that a lot from guys who test positive for PEDs.
Boilerplate.
He came back in the second half of last year and actually did pretty well at Pawtucket, even after the suspension. And that was at Portland in Pawtucket. Okay, so combined last year, in 46 games, he hit .298 with an OPS of .919. Then he comes to the big leagues this year and he has an OPS of .970. I mean, you tell me, do you think this guy can keep it up or do you think he's a time bomb? Because I got an interesting little piece of about Michael Chavis that you may not know. And I'll tell you that in just a second. But first, let me squeeze in another call. Ethan's in Framingham. You got to go fast.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to say that Chavis has pop, which you can't teach. But whether or not you deal him, it has to do with where the Red Sox are at the deadline. It's pretty much that simple. I think Bumgarner can come in and help you. He's a veteran. He's tough mentally. But if they're not necessarily close to first place, why would you deal a chip like Chavis for a rental?
Okay, so look, I honestly don't think it has anything to do with where they are at the deadline. I don't. I'll tell you why. The reservation I have about trading Chavis is not about the PEDs. Although, believe me when I tell you that concern, Murray, totally 100% legitimate. This guy gets popped again, forget it. It's over. It's over. And not just because he'll miss a year or whatever it is, but because whatever it is that he has done or has continued to do if he gets popped again.
I mean, you just can't stick your head in the sand with this guy. And he's obviously energized this lineup and the team as a whole, and he's been a great call-up. But if you can get a Madison Bumgarner, and again, at the trade deadline, if, say, Sale's on the DL or Eovaldi's not the same, and they still need help, I think you, if it's not Bumgarner, if it's a, you know, frontline starter, you got to do it. You got to, because like you said, he gets popped again. It's over for this guy. That's going to be it.
Okay, so I'll tell you why I have reservations about it with Chavis. And again, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. But to me, there's going to be a very specific return. And I'll tell you a piece of information that I learned about Michael Chavis in the last year or so that you may or may not have heard, but my guess is that you haven't heard it. We'll do that when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
0-2. Struck him out swinging. So there's 10 for Chris Sale tonight. Gets the first man in the seventh. 0-2. Did he go? He did. That is strike three, picked up by Leone. He'll fire on to complete it. 11 strikeouts for Chris Sale. Two gone in the seventh inning for Wilkerson.
See, the six pitches in the seventh inning, that's where we are. Six pitches, two punch-outs.
Strikeout Wilkerson, hit by pitch, and he's also been one of the strikeouts.
9-for-9 this inning. We're rooting for that. There we go, one more. Immaculate piece.
So that would be, and this is very, very rare if he gets this, the immaculate inning.
I know, I'm all over it. Gas him.
He did it.
Yes.
An immaculate inning from Chris Sale. 9 strikes, and he blows them away.
He's back on the mound tonight, Chris Sale, against the Colorado Rockies. Don't you just feel the buzz with the Rockies in town? The Rockies.
They still have Bichette and Galarraga and Ellis Burks, right, in the middle of the lineup?
Talk about like one of those faceless franchises. The Rockies are one of them, aren't they? Like, who the hell plays for the Rockies?
But I bet like Matt McCarthy, who does the Hardcore Baseball podcast, like, you're a real seamhead. You want to go to see Nolan Arenado because you don't really see him like ever.
I know, but you know what? The bottom line is, you know who knows the Rockies?
Trevor Story.
Fantasy geeks. the fantasy baseball geeks. You know why? Because they all put up big numbers in Colorado, so it's always good to have Rockies on your team. I know this because I used to be in a fantasy league years ago with the guys who took all the Rockies. And I thought, those guys suck. Why would you take that guy? They say he puts up numbers. And that's when I realized fantasy wasn't for me. Because like I actually want good players instead of guys who can just play on the surface of the moon. But anyway, we'll get to Sale, Chris Sale, in a little bit. I'm not going to bore you with Rockies talk.
Thank God.
But I want to get back to this Michael Chavis thing, because I think the concerns that people have about Chavis, and Jim Murray articulated them last segment, and I think he's right. Chavis got popped for PEDs last year. If you can get something good for Chavis, you should trade him. On the other hand, I have reservations. And when I say something good, Madison Bumgarner. What if the Giants were willing to take Madison Bumgarner, or Chavis for Madison Bumgarner? You're telling me you wouldn't do that? Now, believe it or not, I have reservations, and I'll tell you why. And, by the way, the Red Sox, just so you know, I told you, many of you may know this, many of you don't. Last year, the Red Sox were willing to move Chavis. They would have moved him at the deadline. Jimmy said to me a second ago that he believes that Chavis was offered up for Kelvin Herrera. And if you remember, Herrera was with the Nationals at the time, and the Red Sox needed some bullpen help. I can tell you that Chavis was offered for Zach Britton and the Orioles, and the Orioles said no. So the Red Sox wanted to give Chavis away because they have doubts about Chavis too. And why wouldn't you after the PED suspension? But now he's in the big leagues and he's producing. And to me, there's a reason to keep him too, but I'll tell you that in a second. Chance is in a car. Go ahead, Chance.
Paul, I totally agree with you about having some reservations with Chavis, but I'm also the same. Stuart, where
Chance, I tell you what, I got to put you on hold. Tyler's in Manchester. Tyler, go ahead.
Hey, all I wanted to say was Chavis, he just hit ding dongs. I'd take Felix, but you know, we got to keep somebody good on second. You know, I think Petey's a good bench manager, and you know, he's doing his thing there.
Tyler, did you say Chavis just hits ding dongs?
Yeah, he hits ding dongs. Not just ding dongs, but he cranks the ball.
Okay, do you think he can hit for average?
I think he's done.
What did he say? I think he's what?
I think he can, I think is what he said.
Oh, I think he can. Okay, I thought he said, I think he's done. So what I'm surprised about with Chavis, he'll take the walk, but if you look at the numbers he's had in the minors over the last couple of years, again, at that line of demarcation in 2017, that year he hit 282. I mean, 282 is pretty good. Last year he hit 298. This year with the Red Sox, he's hitting 282. I mean, those are good average numbers. He's not just hitting for power. He's also hitting for average. So he's not Mark Reynolds, who's going to hit 220 and, you know, strike out 200 times and hit your 40 bombs. This guy's hitting 280, 290. I mean, that makes a big difference with that kind of player if you can get the points on the average on top of it. Keith is in a car. Go ahead, Keith.
How you doing, Maz? I'm thinking the same thing that you are. I've got the reservations on it, and it's a couple of reasons. One, what you just said, it's early. I like the kid's makeup. I like how he seems to be learning how to play on an everyday basis. But the fact that Dombrowski kind of already gave away the entire farm, Pedroia is going to retire. He's done. Nunez is not a replacement at second base. They don't have one. So at this point in time, if they've got him there, and the other fact of the Giants aren't going to just trade Bumgarner for Chavis straight up. I think we both know that. And the Red Sox are never going to re-sign Bumgarner based on what they've already got on the payroll, especially in the pitching staff. So the deadline will dictate.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to stop you there, but I think you're at the heart of it. I think you're at the heart of it, and this is my reservation too. We have concerns about what the Red Sox are going to do in the middle of their order here going forward. Mookie Betts is up at the end of next season. J.D. Martinez could opt out this year. You have signed Bogarts. Okay, right now Bogarts is basically your number five hitter. Let's call J.D. Martinez your number four hitter. You need another bat in there. What if Chavis is it? And by the way, I'm including Devers. What if Devers can hit, Bogarts can hit, Chavis can hit, and what if you can keep, let's say, Mookie or JD, but really Mookie? because you're talking about all young guys there, relatively speaking. My reservation with Chavis is, so he got popped for PEDs. He's not the only guy. Lots of guys get popped for PEDs. Robinson Cano got popped for PEDs. He's older. What if he can now beat the test and he doesn't get popped again? A lot of guys never get popped. What if you can actually keep him in the field? And again, I don't know, you know, he claims he didn't use. I don't believe the guys that say that as a rule. No, it's no commentary on Chavis in particular. I'm telling you, the guys who get popped for PEDs, I believe they all use, and I think there are lots of guys who use that never get caught. So, but what I would tell you with Chavis, what if actually he can beat the test? And then you can add him to the lineup you have. The only way that I would trade Chavis, there's one way and one way only. And that's if I can get young pitching. Because the Red Sox don't have any of it in their minor league system. None. That, I think, is a win. At least not healthy, good minor league pitching. So the Red Sox have to start developing pitching. If you're telling me they can get some pretty good pitching prospect for Chavis, I'm in. It doesn't help you this year, but I'm less concerned about this year than I am in the long term with the Red Sox pitching. Because in the short term, Price is signed, Sale is signed, Evaldi is signed. They still have Eduardo Rodriguez. I'm good for a few years, assuming those guys all stay healthy, and they might not. But longer term, who's coming in the system? They don't have that. So Chavis for young pitching, I would do. Okay, I do want to get to Chris Sale, and the Chavis situation does relate, too, to Dustin Pedroia. So we'll touch on him because I think Alex Cora spoke volumes today about where the Red Sox are with Dustin Pedroia, if you didn't know already. We'll get to that and a little bit more info on Sale after Murray gets you caught up on him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazzarotta show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dustin, he's back here. Like I said, nothing major with the knee, but actually he had some tests yesterday, and everybody feels comfortable, better than Sunday. So he'll work out with us the next few days. Let's see how he reacts to it, and hopefully we can go back and then you know, send him into a rehab assignment again whenever we can.
It's Alex Cora tonight on Dustin Pedroia. Back with the team, you heard him say, and Cora caught himself a couple of times in that comment. Okay? I'm going to ask Jimmy Stewart, our producer, to play it again. Because if you weren't paying attention, there are a couple of times he catches himself. Okay, so Jimmy, we'll stop and start here, if you would. But Cora starts to say, we feel comfortable, and then catches himself. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Dustin, he's back here. Like I said, nothing major with the knee. But actually, he had some tests yesterday, and everybody feels comfortable, better.
Stop. Everybody feels comfortable, better. Nobody feels comfortable, because they all know Pedroia can't play. Okay, he can't play. The other thing is he's back with the team. He had a test. He's going to work out with us for a couple of days. And you say, oh, okay, work out and then maybe play? Uh-uh, keep going.
And everybody feels comfortable, better than Sunday. So he'll work out with us the next few days. Let's see how he reacts to it. And hopefully we can go back and then, you know, send him into a rehab assignment again whenever we can.
So there you go. Like the way the comment went, I was expecting him to say, you know, work out with us for a couple of days, we'll see how he feels, and then maybe we'll activate him. Uh-uh. No. Then we'll send him back on a rehab and see if he can play. The Red Sox aren't close to putting this guy on the big league roster. And again, this factors into Chavis in some capacity because as long as Chavis can play second base and not be a complete disaster, he'll play. With the way he's hitting, he'll play. And the question then becomes, is Michael Chavis a flash in the pan, a guy who got popped for PEDs that you can now use as a chip at the deadline? Or is he a guy that can at least beat the tests going forward and can give you the kind of production he's given you in the minor leagues, where basically he's had a 900 OPS and hit, call it 280, 290 over the last couple of years and hit for good power. Because if he can give you that, I'm not sure you want to trade him unless you're getting young pitching. Chavis is a really interesting case because of the history, because of the PED suspension, and because of the potential value if he can stay on the field. Right? That's a hard one. Pete is in Millville. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Maz. Yeah, hey, I agree with you. I think Petey's done. But, hey, with saying that, I still like the opportunity to trade Chavis, but not for future pitching. I think this team's built to win now, and I think if you can get Bumgarner, maybe you have to sweeten the deal a little with Chavis, but get Bumgarner, then you can slide Eovaldi into the bullpen and have Bumgarner start.
Okay, so Pete, again, you're talking about now for a one-year thing there, and I understand the value of Bumgarner there too, and I'm telling you, I would consider it. So I just, the Chavis, to me, the part, we would all want Bumgarner. We would all want Bumgarner. Madison Bumgarner is a likable pitcher with a big game pedigree. We would all want him. To me, the story really is about Chavis. I was just using Bumgarner as a vehicle. Chavis is a complicated case. It's a complicated case. There's value there. If he can do what he's doing now, again, based on the numbers, if he had enough at-bats to qualify, he's the most productive offensive second baseman in the league. Where are you going to get that? You get a guy who's number one in his position in the league offensively, you find a way to get him into the lineup. The question is whether or not you believe in him. Do you believe in him? Are you willing to risk that, the chance that he could get popped again? He got suspended for half a season last year because he tested positive for PEDs. So do you believe that he, you know, can get by it if that's the case going forward? Or do you believe that he can perform at the same level without it? I mean, it's a tricky scenario. Chris is in a car. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Maz, what's going on? I think it's premature to put this kid on the trading block. I mean, look what happened to Bagwell's career when he got traded for a bag of balls.
So I don't know that I would compare him to Jeff Bagwell, Chris, although, you know, maybe that's not the worst comparison in the world. And the other thing is the Red Sox did try to move Chavis at the deadline last year. They tried to move him. Jimmy says they offered him for Kelvin Herrera with the Nationals. I know they offered him to the Orioles for Zach Britton, and the Orioles turned it down. So the real question to you as a fan, do you believe in him and you want him part of the Red Sox future? Or is this guy fool's gold who got popped for PEDs once and is going to get popped again and he'll be a pumpkin? Like, that's a tough call. That's a tough call because you have a stock right now that has good value and it's going up. Brian's in a car. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, Maz, I don't think it's that difficult. This guy, information that you gave me, no way. I'll take the picture. We don't have anything in the farm system. And sign and sale was like, you know, took a lot of the money up. And for him to go in the playoffs and pitch one inning, he's always going out. He's 110 pounds. You got to watch him, baby him. And Price, he went out one time on a blister.
Okay, so Brian, let's just keep it let's not go through every guy in the rotation. The bottom line is you would move Chavis, it sounds like, for a young pitcher. I would move him for a young pitcher, too. At the same time, if you can get anything for him, it might be the right move. Trading Chavis for anything might be the right move. Who knows when this thing's going to go poof? Or maybe it won't at all. I just think that Chavis is a really, like, I did not expect anything out of Michael Chavis this year. I didn't expect anything out of him when he came back last year and started to play in the minors, and he performed well, and I sort of went, huh. Then they had him in camp, and they brought him up, and now he's producing. And so it just created this interesting problem, if that's what you want to call it. It's more like a scenario in which you look at the player and you say, well, he already got popped once. He was a bust as a first-round pick. Came out of nowhere and all of a sudden started hitting home runs like crazy. And then he got popped for PEDs, which makes sense. Well, now he's back producing again. Is he going to fail another test or is he just going to keep producing? You have to make that call. You're the GM. What do you do? Chance, what do you do?
Hey, Maz. Thanks for getting me back on. Sorry I lost you there.
It's all right. Go.
With Chavis,
with Chavis, if we were able to get someone like a Noah Syndergaard or Luis Castillo out of Cincinnati for him, then that's something that maybe I do. But I think he definitely has a chance to stick here. I love Pedroia, but I think he's done. I think if Chavis can show that he can stick at second and we can bring up someone like Bobby Dalbec for third and move Devers to first, that's a really good infield in the years to come.
Chances the PED thing scare you?
To an extent, but I think that it's gotten to the point here in baseball where things have kind of we've moved past that.
Okay, but again, no. We've moved past the stigma of it, but the penalties still exist, Chance. In other words, if you get caught, you get suspended now for, you know, the next one for him. And I don't know if the minor league carries over to the big league or not. I'd have to explore that. But he missed 80 games last year. He gets popped. He's out for a while, and he can't play in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I think is why, if, again, we were able to get someone like Syndergaard, like Castillo, then I'm definitely more prone to pull the trigger. But for someone like Bumgarner at this point in his career, I would really have to hedge my bets on that and just say, young pitching, sure. Someone who's up there, probably not.
Okay, so again, I think Chavis is a really fascinating case. He's a unique case. Most of the guys who get popped for PEDs don't come back and be the same players. They don't. This guy has. In the short term, he has. Kevin and Quincy, do you believe that Michael Chavis is legit?
Listen, there's a huge thing that's being missed with this kid. He was the Georgia High School Gatorade Player of the Year. He committed to Clemson. The big mistake that he made is what all the 18-year-olds make now. They take the money. They come in the minor league system. They fail for a couple of years when he should have gone to Clemson and played 3 years. It took him 2 years to get his feet under him. Now he starts swinging the bat the way he needs to. He's always been a blue-chip prospect. He's going to hit 30 to 40 home runs for the next 5 years. He'd be insane to trade him for Bumgarner. That's nuts.
Okay, so, Kevin, you think then that every first-round pick is a sure thing then, based on what you're saying?
I think that to say that he's a flop is absolutely misleading. That's not what he was.
Oh, yes, he was. Yes, he was. He was a bust. He was a bust in the minor leagues. He was an absolute bust, and I'm not making that up. He was a bust, and then all of a sudden, overnight, it turned around. So, like, what, every kid that goes to the minor leagues struggles, and then, you know, he's going to get his feet under him, and you're going to say high school kids, they all struggle, do they? I'm not sure they do. Some high school kids get into the minor leagues and start dominating right away. How old was Mike Trout when he got to the big leagues? Did he have any trouble in the minors? And again, I'm giving you a superstar. But I'm telling you, there are plenty of guys that get to the minor leagues and do well, and they have to move them up quickly, whether they're high schoolers or college players or not.
19 years old.
When he gets to the big leagues?
Yep.
I mean, you know, again, Bryce Harper, now there's a number one pick, too. Although Trout was late first round, Chavis was late first round. All I'm saying is don't give me the high school blue chip prospect. I can give you a million guys that were blue chip high school prospects that never amounted to anything in the big leagues. And it wasn't just because their development got stymied. It's because they weren't as good as everyone thought they were. Greg McMurtry from Brockton years ago, football player, went to Michigan, drafted by the Red Sox in the first round. He sucked as a baseball player. He wasn't going to make it. He couldn't hit. Joey's in Quincy. Joey, you got to go fast.
Hey, I just want to talk about Chavis and if you should trade him. I mean, I think you should now. Like you said, it's going to pop. Whenever he's going to pop PEDs again, he's going to get caught, and then he gets suspended for, I think it's a whole year. So why not trade for Bumgarner? You definitely need another pitcher. I mean, who do you have besides Price, Sale, and Eovaldi? And even Eovaldi's not doing too well. You need somebody else there.
So, Joey, again, the big thing to me with the Red Sox is they don't have young pitching. They don't have, and when I mean in the minor league system. So if Chavis can get you that, I lean towards yes. And I say heavily lean. I would do that. But a veteran guy for an infielder that could hit, I don't know, 25, 30 home runs with an OPS in the 850, 900 range, if that's what this guy is, boy, that gets tougher. Even if this kid ends up becoming a DH, if he can hit like that, it's worth it. Of course it's worth it. Offense is always worth it. Okay, we have a little giveaway for you here if you're listening up. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. You'll get a $100 Bertucci's gift card. Bertucci's now delivers right to your home or office. So get started at Bertucci's.com. Bertucci's Brick Oven Pizza and Pasta, the official pizza of baseball fans. Again, caller number 10 right now, 617-931-0985. You'll get a $100 Bertucci's gift card. Speaking of players in the major leagues that can hit, the guy who came back recently that I just think is great to watch. He is great theater in baseball. We'll touch on him. We'll give you the matchup of the game. We'll check in with Adam Jones. All of that when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That is skied out toward left center field, hit well. Buxton moving back to the track. That is gone.
Oh, wow, is that a crush.
Big fly, Ohtani-san is first of the year, and the Angels have taken the lead.
That is tattooed out of the ballpark. That's off the facade in the second deck in left center field. That's the other way. Wow.
Shohei Ohtani. That was first homer of the year last night. I love this guy. Have I mentioned this? I love this guy. God, do I love Ohtani. He's back with the Angels. He came back last week. I'm sure you already heard this. You know this. He's not pitching, though, because he had Tommy John surgery. So the Angels are still letting him hit, which is awesome. Like, isn't that the greatest thing ever? Pitcher gets Tommy John. But you know what? We don't have to worry about him being back in a year because we're going to get him back in 6 months because he can hit. We're going to put him in the lineup. He's going to be our DH. The guy can rake. He had a home run last night in Minnesota, or maybe it was yesterday. Did you guys see this thing? Holy crap, what a bomb. Opposite field, hit the face of the second deck about 30 feet above the height of the bullpen. It was an absolute freaking smash. I love this guy. Oh my God, do I love Ohtani. I would kill for the Red Sox to get Ohtani. Oh, I just had to get that off. I had to get that off my chest. I love the guy. I love Ohtani. I love everything about him. The Japanese Babe Ruth, as they called him. What a bomb he hit last night.
Are they going to have him pitch at any point later this year, or is that it just for the year he's going to hit?
So, I mean, good question, Murray. The dilemma they're going to have, I haven't read up on this. He's going to be ready to pitch before the end of the year, but I don't know if he's going to be ready to pitch in the big leagues. Of course, if they're out of contention, it's easy for him.
Sure.
They put him on the mound, they let him pitch, and he gets to rehab. But it would not shock me if they held him out and then let him start throwing again next spring. I mean,
if they're out of it, there's really no point.
But again, really unique circumstance, right? Typically,
that was one of the coolest stories of baseball last year.
But typically, with a pitcher coming off of Tommy John, you send him down to the minor leagues.
Right.
And you say, okay, he'll rehab down there. When he's ready to come up, he'll come up. With this guy, you can't do that.
Right.
You got to let him rake. I mean, you keep him in the lineup.
So maybe have him be mop-up guy, you know, if they're getting blown out of a game, just to get him back on there and get him, you know, get him feeling a little bit more confident.
Good idea. I mean, last year.
But that was when he went down, that was a bummer. I was with you. It was like, it was such a unique story. And I wish that more of that type of thing happened. Or at least you had like maybe dual sport athletes, but none of that even exists anymore.
So last year, he only made 10 starts. He went 4-2 with a 3.31 ERA. But meanwhile, he hit .285 with 22 homers and 61 ribbies. He stole 10 bases and won the Rookie of the Year. This guy's the greatest thing ever. Seriously, talk about like, this is my kind of ball player. This is why I want Bumgarner to come to the American League and DH on the days he doesn't pitch. Oh, that would be awesome. All right, before we get to Jones, I'll put it back in my pants now. Time for the big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Kyle Freeland, very limited numbers against the Red Sox. J.D. Martinez, though, 2-for-3 against him with a double. Kyle Freeland, by the way, in case you don't know who he is, finished fourth in the NL Cy Young Award balloting last year. Okay, he's having a bad year this year, but in theory, a good pitcher. I always worry about the guys in Colorado. Chris Sale, meanwhile, Charlie Blackmon, of all people, 2-for-2 against him, left on left. You wouldn't think that against Sale. Chris Iannetta, the catcher, I'm not even sure he's in the lineup tonight. 1-for-13 against Sale. Like everyone else, he gets annihilated by him. Jones is coming up here. What do you got?
Of course, you got to look out for the big cat, Andres Galarraga, in the middle of the lineup, of course. Low ball, too. We are going to start off with Terry Rozier, his comments to, both First Take and Mike Greenberg. I thought he really gave a nice tour. Good overview of all the dysfunction with the Celtics last year, and a couple of quick thoughts before Game 3, where the Bruins probably end the series tonight.
Right, because you're going right into...
right up until pregame.
Into pregame, right? So there you go. We'll hustle them. We'll get out of Jones' way. Murray's get your headlines, and then Jones right into Bruins pregame in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals right here on 98.5. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.